I welcome you to this time of worship with the words of Reverend Gretchen Haley. There is enough space between us to hold all that you are carrying, all that you've been waking, wondering, worrying, or wearing out with confusion, or attempts to control, trying to find some sense of the normal. All of your irritability, your curiosity, your fragile sobriety, your numb disbelief, your loneliness, your exhaustion, your daily question, allergies or the virus, and your joy. We can hold that too. We can hold all of it here for this time and bless it. Here we will call each other, just as we are, beloved. Here in this far apart space that is also close in, so much remains uncertain. With each passing breath, the ground is shifting. All we can say for sure is that we are caught in this tangled blessing of life, of grief and gratitude together. Like always, except more, with all the forces of summer and the spinning of the earth, we are turning and becoming and beginning again, offering ourselves like the crocus flower, breaking through with a wild beauty, ready for whatever comes next. Come, let us worship together.
Good morning. It is such a joy to be with you today and to share with you the news of our congregation. Recently, we slightly loosened our security protocols to allow folks to message each other one-on-one during the prelude and postlude. Prior to this, congregants can only send private messages to the worship leaders. Our hope is that this will foster connection and community. If anyone receives a private message that is unwelcome or inappropriate, please let the worship leaders know. And as always, everyone is invited to stay for coffee hour in our breakout rooms following the service. In addition, in order to foster the contemplative portions of the service, we'll be turning off the public chat during the meditation and prayer so that our hearts can join together in those moments. Speaking of breakout rooms, in addition to the East Mountain and Socorro breakout rooms, we have a new one hosted by the First U People of Color group. They welcome all self-identified people of color, First U members and guests, to join them in creating and holding a safe and brave space for self-reflection and for the sharing of individual experiences. The Zoom information for the POC room will be shared at the end of the service. And finally, an online memorial service for beloved congregant Alicia Hawkins will be held on Saturday, July 25th at 3 p.m. Details, including login information, will be shared in the coming weeks. All are welcome to join in this celebration of Alicia's life.
For today's chalice lighting, we draw on the words of Reverend Connie Smith, Reverend Connie Simon. Reverend Simon serves our congregation in Cincinnati, Ohio, and was a beloved classmate at Meadville Lombard with me. This is the hour. The time has come. Mindful of our responsibilities as leaders of this faith and guardians of the living tradition, we call upon that great cloud of witnesses, those who came before, those who are here now, and those who have yet to come. We seek their presence, love, and support in this place at this hour. We kindle this flame to light their path and call them near as we undertake this sacred work.
This is my song, O God. To join me in our affirmation. We are Unitarian Universalists. We are people of faith with open minds, loving hearts, and helping hands.
Coyote and the Sky, a story by Emmett Schemmy Garcia. Coyote in the Sky is a Tamaya Peplow creation story about the animal people's journey to the fourth world. A long time ago, the animal people decided to make a journey up into our world, the fourth world. Back then, where we lived in the underworld was called Shipap, or the third world. The animal people went to the leader of the third world and asked him for advice. What should we do when we get to the fourth world? And he gave them great advice about how they should all stay together and watch out for one another. But there was one animal that leader didn't allow to join the other animals on their journey, Coyote. This is because he was always making mischief or trying to trick someone out of food. When everyone was ready, they started to make their long journey. The animal people began to climb and climb up into the fourth world. When they arrived, it was very dark. They could not see anything and kept bumping into one another. They were scared. What should we do? They asked each other. The animal people huddled into a close circle. They decided to send Squirrel and Rabbit back down into the third world to ask Leader for more advice. There is no light in the fourth world. What should we do? Cried Rabbit. Leader took some time to think about their problem. Then he began to build a big fire. And while it was burning, he began to make a yucca mat. When he was done, the coals from the fire were nice and hot and glowing. Leader used a stick to put all the coals onto the yucca mat and tied it into a bundle. He told Squirrel and Rabbit to run quickly with the bundle up into the fourth world. When they reached the other animal people, they opened the yucca mat. The animal people grabbed each corner of the mat and flung it into the heavens. The glowing coals came together into a big circle in the eastern sky and became our sun. At last, there was light. How beautiful it was. But then the sun began to move across the sky to the west and soon disappeared, and it was dark again. Now what should we do? The animal people once again huddled into a small circle. Again, they decided to send Squirrel and Rabbit, because they were the fastest, down to the third world to ask Leader what to do. This time he made an even bigger fire with bigger coals. While it was burning, he made another yucca mat. When the mat was done and the coals from the fire were red and hot, Leader took the coals and put them onto the mat. Leader tied the mat into an even larger bundle. It was very heavy, and Rabbit lifted the bundle with all her might and ran up to the fourth world, with Squirrel leading the way. When they reached the animal people, they untied the bundle. They took each corner of the mat and with a great effort, flung it into the heavens. This became our moon. But still, it wasn't bright enough, and something was missing. So Squirrel and Rabbit were sent down again to the third world to ask Leader what to do next.
This time he made an even bigger fire and an even bigger mat. All this time, little do they know, Coyote was hiding, watching, and listening. When all was ready, Leader wrapped the red-hot coals in the mat and told Rabbit to run as quickly as she could back up to the fourth world, with Squirrel leading the way. Rabbit could feel the heat from the coals, and even to this day you can see that Rabbit's eyes are pink from the heat. But Rabbit was very brave. She held the yucca mat out in front of her, and all she could see was the squirrel's tail leading the way. Did not know Coyote had come out from hiding and was following them up into the fourth world. When they reached the other animal people, Coyote was very angry that he had not been invited to come to the fourth world. Coyote sulked behind a big rock so that no one could see him. When the animal people opened the big bundle, they asked Badger to draw pictures of each animal on the yucca mat with the red hot coals. Badger began to do so with a stick. All this time, Coyote was getting angrier and angrier. Suddenly, he jumped out from his hiding place and grabbed one corner of the mat and flung it into the heavens. These coals became our stars. And if you look closely at the stars today, you can still see the outlines of the animal people that Badger drew on the yucca mat. These are our constellations. In some places, the stars are in clusters, like the Milky Way. This is where Coyote messed up Badger's drawings. Finally, Squirrel ran back to the third world to tell Leader what Coyote had done. Leader decided to go up to the fourth world. When he got to the animal people, he told Coyote that he had been bad and must leave the fourth world. Leader put Coyote in a yucca mat and threw him up among the stars in the southeast corner of the sky. He sent Squirrel into the northwest corner of the sky to watch out for the future of all the animal people. Today, this constellation is known as the Big Dipper. This is how the sun, moon, and stars came to be.
Please join me in a time of meditation. Settle comfortably in your chair. Feel its strength supporting you. Now take a moment to focus on your breath. Don't try to change it, though know that as you observe it, it may naturally deepen. Either way is fine. Don't worry about getting it right. There is no right or wrong here, just you and your body. Maya Angelou said, "It's one of the greatest gifts you can give yourself to forgive. Forgive everybody." For many of us, some of the greatest resentments we hold are against ourselves. So include yourself in Angelou's Everybody as we spend the next few minutes meditating on forgiveness. Keep breathing mindfully. As you inhale, notice how your lungs sit next to your heart, how they are all together, fragile and powerful and precious inside the protection of your rib cage. Breathe in and imagine the fresh air going straight to your heart, feeding it, buffering it. As you inhale, let yourself feel how any animosity or bitterness you hold toward yourself or others strains your heart and makes it ache. As those painful memories and feelings emerge, don't fight or critique them. Just let them dissolve into the sweet oxygen that fills your chest. Hold that breath just for a moment and let the air soak up those feelings. And then breathe them out. As you exhale, relax your grip on that pain and let it go. Do not shame or judge yourself. Just breathe. Breathe in again. And let the distress of unhealed resentment filter from your heart into the air that fills your chest. Once more, breathe it out. gently let it go. We continue in silence. We forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love. In the sharing of joys and concerns, our happiness is multiplied and our burdens are lessened. When the video begins, share your joys and concerns in the chat bar that we may hold them together. If you're not able to write them in the chat bar, we'd still love to know what's on your heart. Send an email to caring@uuabq.org. And let us know how you're doing. Let's share our joys and concerns now.
I'm holding the hand of my brother's hand, who's holding the hand of my mother. She's holding the hand of a child's hand, who's holding the hand of another. He's holding the hand of a sister's hand. She's holding my hand. We are a circle of hands. Our lives unfold as we dance. We move, we change, we grow. We're face to face with the unknown. So hold the hand as you dive into the dance. It's this dream, this big dream. Sacrifice, is it worthy to give my life for this love, this huge love? I'm risking everything. I'm ready to change in this dance, this wild dance. I'm riding on a circle of hands. mother's hand. She's holding my hand. We are a circle of hands. Our lives unfold.
I invite us now into prayer. We'll pause the chat bar so we can put our hearts together. We are our own cloud of witnesses, holding each other's joys and concerns. And we hold joy for choirs and music, for baking. We hold joy for anniversaries and family time. Companionship of nature and pollinators, bees, so joyful. We share in the joy for Brenda Cole's brother's successful chemo treatments. May they continue. We give thanks for pets. We're concerned for those who are isolated, worried for our educators stuck in a system that is out of their control. And we feel concern for those having unequal suffering from the pandemic all across the world, exacerbated by oppressions of race and economy. And we hold up a prayer, a special prayer for Donna Duquin, that she may find healing. We lift up all these prayers and those prayers held in our hearts unspoken, but no less deeply felt. We lift them up to the powers of celebration and renewal. Healing. These powers are known by many names. We pray for Beatrice Mitchell as she recovers in Denver. May healing come quickly, and may she be lifted by the prayers of those who love her. We pray for Gwen Sawyer's niece who recently passed from Huntington's. May her family and loved ones know kindness in this moment, and may light perpetual shine upon her. We lift up all those who are suffering from illness, be it mental or physical, emotional or spiritual. May they find healing and renewal. And we give thanks for those who care for the sick, whether in their own homes or at work. May they know that through the work of their hands, they bring love into the world. Remember all those who struggle for financial and housing security. May they know that their value has nothing to do with money. As we pray, we remember that the world is both broken and beautiful. And we understand our life's work as finding the way to hold both these things and to live more deeply into both. May we continue to create a more just and caring world. We give thanks for this congregation and the care we offer each other. May our work together continue to be healthy and productive. And may we all be held in the heart of love. Amen, and blessed be. Peace be with you. I'm a newcomer to New Mexico, and I have a ton to learn about this fascinating old region. And I've gotten around the state a little, but I know I've only scratched the surface. When I first came to Albuquerque, I had breakfast with Reverend Christine Robinson, and I asked her to suggest books that might help me learn about the area. And right away, she said that I had to read Religion in Modern New Mexico, which is a collection of essays about, religion in modern New Mexico. But between that and other good sources, I learned about the ways that Roman Catholicism has manifested in this region. And the Roman Catholic Church has had an incredibly complicated history here that includes great service and consolation and outright colonialism and exploitation. And it has the penitentes. Before I go on, I just want to own my own social location on this. I grew up in a very Catholic home. I wanted to be a priest when I grew up, just like my Uncle Pierre. And I broke with the church in my teens for a lot of different reasons. So just acknowledging here that I have my biases and blind spots and sore spots. So, end of caveat. When Mexico became independent from Spain in 1821, the Catholic Church authorities pulled their missionaries out of the region, which left lay Catholics here without priests, or at minimum with an extreme shortage of priests. Especially in the more remote communities, the faithful could expect maybe one visit a year at best. It's important to point out that Catholicism is a sacramental religion, and not being able to receive communion, or baptism, or the blessing of marriage, or last rites was a significant loss in the practice of their faith. Folks were left on their own. In some ways, they responded by taking matters into their own hands in some areas. The men in some of these communities came together and formed what became known as Los Penitentes. And these were groups of men, yes, unfortunately only men, who formed their own religious communities based on their own understanding of Catholicism. They built meeting houses known as moradas. They had many practices, but they became known for their violent self-flagellation. So during Lent, which is the period of weeks leading up to Easter Sunday, they'd whip themselves and cut themselves, all to both experience the suffering of Jesus and to atone for their sins. It was a way to make amends. And the climax of this would come during Holy Week, where they'd carry crosses over miles, and some honored member of the group would get to reenact the crucifixion, being tied to a cross and hoisted aloft. This part of the rituals has received a lot of attention because it's really gory. And there was even an exploitive movie made in 1936 called The Lash of the Penitentes, which actually glorified the violence but had very little to do with what they were actually about. Now, the specific origins of the group are unclear and in dispute. Most scholars agree that it went something like what I just described. And there are still groups in New Mexico who carry crosses on Good Friday. And that's the day when the crucifixion is honored. I think there are other messages, though, from their practices that deserve some consideration from Unitarian Universalists. The penitentes were making a physical expression of their faith. The practices brought them closer to understanding and even feeling the suffering that Jesus experienced, ostensibly for the benefit of humanity. They were really putting their bodies into it. Unitarian Universalists have ways of expressing their beliefs, but physical expressions are not our strongest way. We Unitarian Universalists have a reputation, perhaps well-deserved, of being intellectual in our faith, using our heads and reason to go deeper into our understanding of what it means to be UU. And that's great. It's an important part of how we are as a people. But we don't have a lot of embodied ways to express our faith. We don't cross ourselves. We don't have a mandate to fast on certain holidays. We don't have a religious rule to avoid certain foods or activities. Now, we can make individual choices that might physically inconvenience us, like reducing our carbon footprint. But these are individual choices, and we don't get the sense of doing something along with the entire world of UUs at the same time. And I think that's a loss. People don't just experience spirituality with their heads. We have feelings in our bodies and in our hearts. And I think Unitarian Universalism might be richer if we figured out ways to connect to that more intentionally. Now, what those ways might be is a whole other sermon, but I'm thinking about it. And there's another element. Penitente means penitent, or person seeking forgiveness. And I think in our tradition, we need to do a little more work on developing a theology of forgiveness. Let me just say right here that I'm not proposing that we whack ourselves with cactus when we fall short of our covenants. But we could use some better ways, maybe rituals perhaps, to draw ourselves back into right relationship when we fall out. Let's face it, we're human, we screw up, and we always will. Are there ways to allow us to acknowledge our failings and make amends and move on? You know, in her lovely meditation, Kristen Satterley uses the language from Reverend Rob Eller Isaac's Litany of Atonement. We forgive ourselves, we forgive each other, we vow to begin again in love. It's beautiful language, but I think it's one of the only places in the whole gray hymnal that talks explicitly about repairing our relationships when we mess up. And this ends up showing up in very concrete ways, very real ways. You know, back in 2017, folks may remember, the Unitarian Universalist Association found itself in a crisis when it had to acknowledge that, intentionally or not, the hiring process for senior leaders in the association created a senior leadership group that was overwhelmingly white. This led to a slew of resignations and reorganization, and thankfully, our new president, Reverend Susan Frederick Gray, has made great strides to correct that situation. Still have a long way to go, but we're heading in the right direction. But the president of the UUA at the time was Reverend Peter Morales. And when all this blew up, he chose to resign from the presidency 3 months prior to the end of his term. Now, some folks thought this was a noble act of apology, but I really wanted Reverend Peter to stay. And I wanted him to be an example by living into a Unitarian Universalist theology of forgiveness that would include him taking responsibility for what happened and hanging around to accept the consequences while he worked to make change. By leaving his position, that that work of amends and forgiveness never got a chance to happen. And I think if we in the Unitarian Universalist world have better frameworks and practices for forgiveness and amends, Reverend Morales would have had a better alternative than leaving. And let me say, I know Reverend Peter Morales. He's a good person. He did good things for the Unitarian Universalist Association. But no one is perfect. And that's exactly my point. We need processes to return to right relationship because we will inevitably make mistakes. Lord knows I do all the time. And just like the practices of physical embodiment, what those ways might be, that's a whole other sermon, but I'm thinking about it. And I want to add, in both forgiveness and embodiment, our religious education programs and our religious leaders, our religious educators, they have a lot to teach us about that. They're doing really well with that. We should let the youth teach us how to do it. Anyways, there's plenty about the penitentes that doesn't and shouldn't translate to Unitarian Universalism. But we UUs explicitly draw on wisdom from the world's religion as a source of inspiration. I think we can appreciate what is useful and leave the rest behind. I'm looking forward to learning more with this congregation about religion in New Mexico, and with this congregation, finding inspiration in surprising places. May it be so.
As we prepare to take up the offering, I want to remind you that our Change for the Future recipient for this quarter is still Oxford House, an organization that provides residential support to people in recovery. You can make an offering online by clicking on the link that we'll put in the chat box. And if you prefer not to give online, you can always simply mail a check to the church. We will now take up the offering for the work of the church and for the work of this church in the community. Thank you so much for your generosity.
El amor en un rincón, pero busca el amor, ni placer ni pasión, el amor, lo que hace al otro bien, busca el amor. Está ahí a la flor, un pétalo del sol, el amor, lo que hace al otro bien,
busca el amor.
Thank you.
What is generously given is received with gratitude. Thank you on behalf of Oxford House and First Unitarian Church of Albuquerque. As we extinguish our chalices, and I apologize for the chalice running out of oil during the service, but we still have a candle going. As we extinguish our chalices, we remember our cloud of witnesses, those who came before, those who are here now, and those who are yet to come. Our worship is ended. Our service begins. Go in peace and practice radical love.
Showing up. Look at how far we've come. Everybody building the path of love. Now we gotta keep walking it. Gotta keep walking it. Well, somebody got an idea and then they go talking it. They show up to make it real and then we go building the path of love. Now we gotta keep walking it.
Gotta keep walking it.
Who knows where to go? Just keep on the winding path. Which road do you suppose is the path of love? Just keep on walking, writing, loving, fighting. Keep on working, praying, living and dying. The heart of the thing I'm trying to say is the beating pulse of every day. It's the song I sing. Prayer I pray to lead my path all along the way to amazing gratitude. Somebody might fall down and then we go pick them up. We're holding the lost and found. Everybody building the path of love. Now we gotta keep walking it.
Gotta keep walking it.
Well, the road just might get long, but we keep walking on. The hold of a hand is strong. Everybody building the path of love. Now we gotta keep walking it.
Gotta keep walking it.
Who knows where to go? Just keep on the winding path. Which road do you suppose? The path of love, just keep on walking, writing, loving, fighting, keep on working, praying, living and dying. The heart of the thing I'm trying to say is the beating pulse of every day. It's the song I sing, the prayer I pray, it'll lead my path all along the way that's been. This amazing gratitude. Ooh, ooh, oh. Ooh, ooh, oh. Look at all the work we've done, everybody showing up. How far we've come, everybody building the path of love. Now we gotta keep walking it.
Gotta keep walking it.
Gotta keep walking it.
Gotta keep walking it.